Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things by helping others and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Outreach at Ellenbecker Investment Group. I've shared before on the show that I lead a Bible study here at EIG, and I'm also involved in a group called FEW, the Fellowship of Extraordinary Women, who focus on faith, family, and business in that order. We meet right here at EIG the second Friday of every month, if anybody's interested in that. And I'm also a member of a faith-based organization called C-Suite for Christ. And a topic that comes up quite often in these groups is the importance of impact and significance we as individuals are making in the world. Now, this is most certainly not specifically a non-secular topic. It can apply to anyone. If you have an area of expertise or if you have a servant's heart, what are you doing to share that gift with others? There's a quote by Carl Sagan that says, "Who are we if not measured by our impact on others?" That's who we are. We're not who we say we are. We're not who we want to be. We are the sum of the influence and the impact that we have on others. So my question for you is this: how are you making a difference or having an impact in some way in the world around you? Today we're going to talk with a man who thought long and hard about this idea of significance and impact. He had a particular area of expertise that he knew that he could share with others. So today we're going to learn about how he did that. My first guest today is Nick Breach, Vice President of Field Operations at Compass Finances God's Way. Welcome to the show today, Nick.
Oh, thank you, Jill. Oh, it's terrific to be here and looking forward to digging in today.
Absolutely. Me too. So start us out, Nick, by walking us through your journey of discovery in this area of significance and impact.
Yeah, thank you. Well, for a great deal of my life, you know, basically I was a person that was involved in living for myself. I was involved in pursuing more power, more money. My career reflected that. My job opportunities reflected that. And over time, you know, I got pretty good at it. And I got pretty full of myself, and I started to live even for more of myself. And I'm like, wow, I could really make a great career out of international business. And having grown up in Australia and moved to the U.S. A couple dozen years ago, like, I've got experience. I have what it takes. And boy, was I wrong. As I climbed the corporate ladder and got more and more success, if you like, and perhaps more and more significance that I thought, I really started to move away from the things that mattered. My family. I was traveling way too much. I was staying at the office way too much. And I was so interested in pursuing those things for myself, that next step on the corporate ladder, that I didn't realize that I was letting those things that mattered most to me just atrophy over time. And one day about 15 years ago, I heard a message on the radio about Finances God's Way. And I was a regular church attender, and I would say, yeah, perhaps I was a Christian even. But my life, the life that I was living, was far apart from what the Lord wanted for my life. And I knew that because of the pain and the isolation I was experiencing as I moved further and further up that corporate ladder. I might have had more money, I might have had more power, more influence in the company, but it was more and more isolated. Many people have said it's lonely at the top, and that was true. And so over time, I started to have this wrestling, this struggle that we talked about within me. And I was thinking long and hard about what does it mean to have a long-term legacy of impact. And not just impact where it's like, oh, here's Nick and he's done this and he's done that, but impact on people, lasting impact. First of all, my wife, our kids, but others in the community. And this expertise that I'd been trained on how to develop leaders. Many companies had invested a lot of money in me to help me figure out how to do that. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to make and multiply leaders that will have an impact in the community.
Wow, I'm sure some of you listening can identify with that and it resonates with you. So you had this area of expertise that you knew you could use to help others in terms of leadership and mentoring and developing. So you got involved in Compass Finances God's Way. So tell us exactly who and what that is.
Yeah, thank you. Compass Finances God's Way is a financial discipleship ministry, and our primary strategy is to make and multiply financial discipleship leaders. And you know, what's financial discipleship, or who are financial discipleship leaders? Basically, they are people that follow Jesus, glorify God, and multiply disciples. Go and make and multiply other financial disciples. A financial disciple is somebody who glorifies God in the area of money and possessions. Our ministry was founded decades ago on a simple idea that there are 2,350 verses in the Bible on money. 15% of everything Jesus talked about had to do with money and possessions. Over 40% of his parables used money to illustrate a kingdom perspective, and it was important to Jesus. And unfortunately, during most of my life, it wasn't important to me, except where money could help me live for myself. And when I heard some teaching on finances God's way, that God owns everything and that we are to share, and God's the provider, the owner of everything we have, and our job is just to be faithful managers, or some would say stewards, faithful stewards of everything he's entrusted to us, that started to change my life. And I started teaching finances God's way in our church on a volunteer basis. It brought me back to my wife, back to my kids, back to myself. And I started challenging myself and thinking long and hard again about, you know, what would it look like to join this organization and make an impact, a long-lasting impact, through making and multiplying financial discipleship leaders.
Wow. Well, those are certainly reasons why we should care about doing finances God's way, right? You mentioned money being a contributing factor to divorce, over 2,300 verses in the Bible, 40% of Jesus' parables used money. Certainly good reason enough for us to care about doing finances God's way. And so you said you got involved with Compass and your role is VP of Field Operations. And what does that all entail exactly?
Yeah, so my job as VP of Field Operations is basically to travel the country, travel the world, and help our partners around the world to do what I'm trying to do, to make and multiply financial disciples, to help people understand that the Lord owns everything, to help people surrender their lives to the Lordship of Christ. And if they're anything like me, I surrendered my life to Christ, but not my wallet. And my wallet was still, if you like, I was holding it out of the water as I was being baptized, if you can understand that
visual.
Great
visual.
And then help people to understand that, you know, we have to choose. Money has a hold on us. It had a hold on me as I grew up that corporate ladder and had more and more money. It just didn't bring happiness. It didn't bring joy. It didn't bring, you know, significance even. And so helping people around the world understand that we have to choose God over money each and every day. And then perhaps most importantly is then to take that ownership, surrender, and choice and then turn it into a multiplication strategy. I mean, we're all called to make disciples. We're all called to make future leaders, whether it's our kids, our spouses, people in our businesses, our community. We're called to make and multiply disciples. We just do it through a lens of the Bible on money at Compass Finances God's Way. And then ultimately, we want to have an eternal focus, which is how do we bring more people into God's kingdom and let them experience the joy that comes from knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and the joy that comes from surrendering their finances and everything they have to the Lordship of Christ.
Well, wow, good stuff. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, but when we return, we're going to learn more about this idea of good stewardship from Nick when we return. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Nick Breach from Compass, Finances God's Way. So, Nick, let's dive right into this idea of good stewardship. Help us to understand, what are some of the things that we get wrong with money?
Yeah, well, Jill, if people are living a life that's anything like my life, you know, there's so many areas in my life where I got so much wrong with money. And I think some of the things we get wrong with money, the obvious one is we think it's our own. I used to think everything I had was mine. And so when somebody would, you know, need a place to stay, I'm like, sorry, that's my house. No, I live there. No, I'm not willing to share that. Someone needed to borrow a car. No, that's my car. You know, no, you can't. I need that. Even if I didn't need it, even if I was going to be on vacation for a week. And my attitude was, again, this stuff is here to serve me. And it's my stuff, so I can do whatever I want with it. And it wasn't until I learned Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. And I realized, you know, it's not my stuff. My job is to be a faithful manager. Again, some people would use the term steward, and that's where we get the term stewardship from. So I think one of the things, one of the top couple things that we get wrong is, you know, we think it's ours. We don't understand that God owns everything. I think one of the other things we get wrong with money as well is we either too much on the spending side and say, look, I'm just going to spend everything I have, right? Because again, this is my life. I'm going to do whatever I want, etc. Or we are on the other side and we stack it up and we build the bigger barns, if you like. And we don't have that rich relationship toward God. And the rich relationship toward God, perhaps the biggest thing that we get wrong with money, is we don't realize that money is a way, faithful use of our worldly wealth is a way to grow closer to Christ. And Luke 16:11 says, if you've not been faithful in the use of worldly wealth, who then will entrust you with the true riches of heaven? And I don't know about you, but I want those true riches of heaven more than I want an extra few bucks.
Exactly.
Or another donut.
Right. Well, so those are some things we get wrong. Help us to understand, what are some of the things that we get right?
Well, I think as a human race and as humans generally, I think one of the things we get right is that we do share with others, especially those in need. You see people around the world willing to share. If it's a disaster, a natural disaster somewhere, people are just coming out of the woodwork to give and to give generously. And so I think, you know, many, many people are getting it right when it comes to, you know, some of what I have, you know, I'm to share with others. I'm to use to help others rather than just store it up for myself. However, in my case, when I used to do that, you know, my motives were misguided. It was either if I give, I'll get more, which is not giving out of love because now I'm just expecting more back from God or other people. Or in some cases, I'm ashamed to say I would give a gift to a ministry and I just really wanted access. I'm like, hey, I'm a corporate executive. I can probably help you with a few things. If I make this gift, will I get to meet the executive director? You know, questions like that. And thankfully, God closed those doors before I could walk through them. And so I think when we get things right with money, when we share, you know, we ought to do it with an attitude of love. And that means care for those that we're giving it to. But also it's an act of love and worship because God gave it to us and we are returning it to Him. In a sense.
Absolutely. And I think an attitude of gratitude, too, to say, Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed me in this way. Now help me bless others, whatever that looks like,
yeah.
In whatever way.
Amen.
So you've mentioned the term financial discipleship. You've mentioned stewardship. How do they differ?
Yes. Well, stewardship is basically, as I mentioned earlier, stewardship's about understanding that our role is to be a faithful manager. I don't own anything. God owns everything. He's given something to me. He's given something to us individually to manage. And so good stewardship, in my mind, is talking to the owner about what would you have me do with your stuff? I mean, if you're a faithful employee, you go to the boss and say, hey, I'd like to do this strategy. I'd like to use that equipment. I'd like to upgrade this or fix that, right? And the boss says, yeah, great idea. Go do that. I think we need to have the same attitude when it comes to our finances, our money and our possessions. A good steward talks to the owner about what to do with their stuff. A good steward is also surrendered, which means when they hear from the owner, well, you should do this. You know, recently we had an item that we felt led to sell, for example, and we sold it, and I'm like, oh, that will help us replenish our savings account and what have you, the proceeds from that. And my wife's like, well, we should really ask God. It's his money. And God's like, I want you to give that away. That money's not for you. And I'm like, God, you know, come on, you know. And I'm having this argument.
Yeah, but.
No prizes for guessing who won the argument. I did not win. And so that money was for other purposes. We had such joy in doing that. But it took me a long time to be surrendered and okay with that plan. So a good steward is also surrendered. A good steward also chooses God over money every day. Matthew 6:24 tells us, you cannot serve two masters. You'll love one, hate the other, be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So stewardship is recognizing God's ownership, surrendering everything we have when God calls for it or calls on it, and then just choosing God over money every day. And so that's stewardship. Financial discipleship then adds on this element of multiplication. My job is to take what I've learned, this excitement I have from understanding that God owns everything, and I've just been demoted now to manager instead of owner. Hallelujah. And my job is to go and share that with others. Help them understand what I have learned. The blessings in my life from intimacy with the Lord, closeness with my family, and this opportunity to meet other people and help them recognize God's ownership and surrender. And so financial discipleship is a multiplication focus. I'm not going to hide this light, you know, under a lampshade, mm-hmm. so to speak, under mm-hmm. a bushel, so to speak. And then having this eternal focus that says, you know, our lives here on earth are to be lived for God and to love others, right? So we are here to be a blessing, or we are blessed to be a blessing to others. And so that eternal focus is, I want to use the resources God's given me so that when I get to heaven, my mates will be there. Mm. My friends will be there because I've used what God has given me for those purposes, to bless them in some way. It could be, you know, we're going to send them on a beach vacation, or we're going to buy them a cup of coffee.
Right. Well, or just, you know, we talk about wanting to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, we want to hear, yes, that. It also, what you're talking about reminds me of God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
You know, I just went through the jog training, the journey of generosity, and we watched some videos of just the joy that you feel when you give. And it can't be explained. I think people have to experience that for themselves. How does someone get started then on their financial discipleship journey?
Yeah, so in order to start, go to our website, compass1.org. That's C-O-M-P-A-S-S, the number 1.org. There's two places for you to click. If you are ready to help others grow, if you have become a faithful steward, you understand that God owns everything, you surrendered, you want to help others grow, there is a tab, a link that you can click on right on the website that says, help others grow, and you'll see financial discipleship leader training, some of the studies we have. Most of our training and a lot of our materials online is free and available to everyone. If you are at a point where you're like, no, I'm not quite ready to help others grow, but I want to continue growing on my journey, again, we have a link for you to click. Just click on grow, or grow on your journey. Again, that's at compass1.org. And I invite you, get started. Jump in today.
Wonderful. Well, so much good stuff here. I always hate to leave these interviews, but what I like to say is we're just planting that little mustard seed so that people can get a feel for what it is you do and what your organization offers. But before I leave, I want to ask this question, Nick, because I think it's important for the audience listening. What advice do you have for people who feel stuck in their job, and maybe they're wondering about how they want to leave a legacy of significance, whether that's financial discipleship or not, or something else. What words of wisdom or advice would you leave?
Yeah, great question. I would say start today and really seek the Lord on, you know, God, what would you have me do? Ask those around you, what are you passionate about? Or another way to say it is, you know, what are the things that break your heart that are also breaking God's heart? Where do you see injustice in the world? Where do you see poverty? You know, where does mercy need to happen? And I think God will show you where there's a place that will match your skills, your talents with your network, and also those things that break your heart. And the other thing, perhaps the other way to start and start small, especially for those that are not yet retired, but could be for those that are retired as well, start small by making financial contributions to ministries that are addressing those needs that break your heart. And then God does an amazing thing. He tells us that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And as you start giving to those ministries, your heart will be drawn into those ministries, and you may find a home of fellow faithful disciples, or even fellow faithful financial disciples, where you'd be able to make a long-term impact of success and significance.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. And again, if you want more information, Nick is saying to visit compassone.org to learn more information. Thank you so much for participating, Nick.
Thank you, Jill.
I talked about significance and impact at the opening of the show, and we learned about Nick's journey of significance and how he's making a difference. When we come back, we're going to learn about another individual who decided to get serious about his own journey of significance and is now being used in some amazing ways. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo. My next guest today is Lauren Richman from the Augustine Academy, whose goal is to partner with parents and prepare young people to thoughtfully engage with the world. Welcome to the show today, Lauren.
Thanks for having me today, Jill. I'm really excited to be here and tell you more about the Augustine Academy.
Yeah, that we want to learn all about that. We want to learn about your journey, all kinds of good stuff ahead. Why don't you start first by telling us, who is the Augustine Academy?
Well, we are a Jesus Christ-centered hybrid classical school. We are 4K through 8th grade, and we're located in the Lake Country area. To expand on that a little bit, we are Jesus Christ-centered, and you know, really permeates in everything that we do at the school, no matter what subject it is that we're talking about. We are a hybrid school, so depending on the grade that the student is in, they are going to be on our campus either 3 or 4 days per week. And then the remaining days per week, they're going to be at what we call the home campus, which is at their home with their parents doing their schooling at home. We do follow a classical model based on Charlotte Mason. And Mason was a late 1800s, early 1900s British educator. And, you know, she had a couple of thoughts, and the first was that it should really, your education be, it should be an atmosphere. So it should be something that is joyful, something you enjoy doing. In addition to that, it should be a discipline, and that means that we're going to do hard things, and we're gonna learn a lot by doing those hard things, and we're going to grow through that process. And then we're also going to, it's going to be a life. So we are seeking to develop students that grow into young adults and want to be lifelong learners. And at the end, it's all about, you know, finding out through this process, who are we, how did God create us, and how is he calling us to take part in his universe that he has created. Mm-hmm. So that's all that we do. And we were founded 6 years ago, and we are very excited and blessed to be starting our seventh year.
Very good. Congratulations. Yeah, I like to make sure that we speak into the young kids that are in our circle of influence and say, you were created and designed for magnificence, and just build them up. And there's so many ways that, that we can do that. And obviously, the Augustine Academy is doing that. What makes it unique, though, from other area schools?
Sure. So first and foremost, I mean, you'll hear every school say this, that we have excellent academics and we're no different. So, but things that make us unique is, you know, first, that Jesus Christ centeredness. So, you know, it's easy to point at a Bible class or a chapel session and say, you know, God is in the center of that. And we do have Bible every day and chapel once per week. But then you start looking at some of the other subjects that we cover, disciplines that we cover, and you talk about things like science, and we can see how God created and how his universe works, and we can study that. We can go into a math class, and we can see how he's ordered things and how, you know, his laws work. We can go to history, and we can see how he's been working throughout history and the things that he's been involved in throughout the history of this world. And then finally, in the literature classes, we can see these great God-given ideas that he has given these authors to write about, and we can use those to teach and raise up our students. Secondly, we are a very discipleship-focused school, so you know, it's much beyond just the education. We really encourage our students, their families, and our teachers to really be living out their beliefs and their faith on a daily basis, whether that be in the classroom or out in the community or at home or wherever it may occur. And just one real quick example of where that was recently manifested was earlier this year when the Ukraine conflict started. We had our middle school class felt very moved by what was happening over there. And they got together all on their own without any prodding from their teacher. And they wanted to figure out how they could help. So they did their research. They found an orphanage over in the Ukraine that was helping the Ukraine orphans. And they figured out how they could give to that organization. Then they figured out how they were going to do a fundraiser. So they organized all that. They planned it all. They marketed it. And they held their fundraiser. And they raised just under $1,000. And they gave it right to that organization. That's just one small recent example.
That's wonderful. Wow.
And then in addition to that, we really stress that parent partnership. And so that's part of the hybrid model. That's how our school is set up. And that starts with prayer. We pray for every family throughout the year. Then before the school year starts, we bring all of our families in and we do a family education week. And that's where we equip them to teach their student throughout the year. And then we follow that up with monthly discussions and book clubs.
Wow. Okay. Well, we can certainly see why it's important that parents are involved with their child's education and find a place that aligns with their values, right? How did you get involved specifically? Give us a little bit of your journey and share why you got involved in the Augustine Academy.
Sure. So our family's journey started several years ago, and we had kids that were in the public school for a number of years. And then kind of midlife, my wife and I were saved, and we felt God's call to homeschool at that point. So we homeschooled our children for 10 years. And then we hit a spot where we needed some additional support, so we started to look around to see what options were out there. And we were able to discover the Augustine Academy, and they were very like-minded in what we were looking for, and we have since been there for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what is your current role there?
Well, to back up a little bit, I went through actually a Compass class and earlier last year, and the class was on charting your legacy. And through that, you know, the class was really challenging us. What is the legacy God has for us? And how do we discover that? And how do we live that out? And so going through that class really felt God's call that it was time to do something different. I was an executive at a Fortune 400 company in the area and felt like I needed to get involved somewhere else. So I resigned my position and I'm a parent volunteer at the school right now. And then I also recently stepped onto the board.
Oh, very good. Wow. Talking about stepping up and stepping out, right? That's, you know, live by example. The Augustine Academy is a K-8 school, but what happens after that? I mean, if a person is committed to parochial or private schooling, How can they partner with their kids' school to continue this process of teaching and training and discipling teens and young adults? Stay tuned to hear about that after the commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo. I'm the Director of Community Outreach, and I'm talking in this last segment with Lauren Richman from the Augustine Academy. So, if parents are committed to this idea of parochial school for their children and they've gone through the Augustine Academy, how can they partner with their kids' school then to continue this process of teaching and training and discipling their teens and young adults? I mean, what can they expect as the next steps?
Sure. So, you know, I think first and foremost for parents, it's really important to, look for a school that is aligned with their values. And when you think about our teens, they look for alignments in the leaders in their life, whether that be a pastor or a parent or a teacher or whoever else might be involved with their life. And when they find misalignments in that, they get confused and they start to ask a lot of really hard questions and they don't really know which way to go. So it is very important to help find that alignment for them so they can head down the path that they're called to be part of. And when you think about, how parents should approach this, it's really about, God calls us to be involved in our child's training and discipleship and education. You look at in the book of Deuteronomy 5 or 6, actually, and it talks about how we're supposed to be training our kids at all times, whether we're sitting at home or we're traveling or we're at work or wherever it may be. And then you look at the book of Proverbs 22, and it says, we're to train up the child in the way that he should go. And when he is grown, he will not depart from it. So it's very important to take that long view of, what we want our students and our children to look like. And, we should really be asking the question, what do I want my 24-year-old to be? And, what am I going to do when they're 4 years old? What am I going to do when they're 14 years old? And so on, to get to that point of what I want my 24-year-old to be. So as we think about, why look at this, we're struggling as a society. We can see it all over the place. Our families are struggling, our communities are struggling, our country and our world, and we need those Christian leaders to be raised up to lead us, in the next generation. And when you look at the current state of our teens, only about 1 in 5 teens believe that Jesus is active in the world today. And we know that he's active in the world today. So how can we help open that door to the other 4 out of 5 that don't believe that? And, we really want to be a school that is, going forward, very Jesus Christ-centered, discipleship-focused, and driving that parent partnership. And it's so important to be partnering with those parents, because a typical teen in the U.S. in 4 years of high school, they're going to spend about 5,000 hours in school. They're going to spend just shy of 1,500 hours with their parents at home, and they're going to spend about 200 hours in church. So the vast majority of their time is going to be at school. So that's why it's so important to be there and working with the kids in that area.
So you are starting a high school.
Yes, that is correct.
So to continue, we said, how are you going to continue, or how can parents partner with their K-8 school to continue this process? And so you're here to say you're starting a Augustine Academy high school. So what's the vision for that, and what are you hoping to achieve?
So we're hoping to achieve, first and foremost, discipling young adults to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want to disciple them to be submitted and committed to that. So whether that be willing to stand in whatever situation that they're put into as an adult and willing to stand for that, but then also willing to take the time to hear from God and how he might be calling them, how he might be leading them, and really be willing to follow his will for their life. We also want to develop young adults that are submitted and desiring to serve others, and young adults that are focused on others rather than self. And really, it's all about training up that next generation of Christian leaders that are leading to extend God's kingdom in this world.
So then how will your Augustin Academy High School differ from any other area high schools, parochial or public?
Sure. So we're going to be very discipleship focused, as I've been mentioning. We plan to disciple the whole person. So obviously the intellectual side, but then also the spiritual side. We want to help to build character in those young adults, and then also serve that service and leadership formation. We, in addition to that, we really want to build strong community relationships. So we want our students out in the community, building those relationships within the community, as well as with their families and with their peers at the school. And then we also want to make sure they're having regular interaction with the younger students. So just like, you know, they're going to be discipled, we want them taking part in discipling the younger students as well, and kind of passing it down. So when you think about practically, how will that look differently? First off, in the classroom, you're going to see, you know, rather than students sitting in rows and a teacher up front, instead you're going to see students sitting in a circle or around a table, and they're going to be discussing and debating ideas. The teacher is going to act more like a facilitator versus a teacher. And we're going to have a cohort model where the students will stay together. And that is so they can continue to grow with each other, they can support each other, and they can challenge each other. And then any specialty subjects will flex teachers in and out of the classroom for those subjects. And then as we think about starting the school year, we actually plan to start a school year with an annual class retreat. And so during that retreat, we want our students to spend some time with God and praying and journaling and really hearing what he has for them, not only for that year, but, you know, really for their whole life. And then we want them to go into an annual goal-setting process out of that, where they'll really lay out their goals for the year and for their 4 years of high school. We also are going to do some habit formation, some relationship building, and then we'll have a service activity as well. And then throughout the week, during the school year, we're going to take a half a day a week, and we want our students out in the community serving.
Nice.
So they're going to serve together. Likely it'll be, you know, repeats at the same location every week. And so that way they kind of build those relationships at that location. They're serving within that ministry, and they're really understanding what it means to serve someone on a regular basis.
Mm, so important.
And then when you think about, you know, on a monthly basis to build those community relationships, we plan to have, you know, twice a month, some social activities where they can build relationships with each other, as well as be involved in the community. And then we also want to have, you know, one of those two to be, you know, spending some time with the younger students, helping to disciple them. And then finally, just to bring this all home, at the end of the school year, we want to do some sort of class trips. And that's going to be a mission or an education focus. So we plan to do some local missions so our students get exposed to that and understand what that looks like. And then some longer range missions as well, so they also understand what that looks like. And then finally, some sort of educational type trip where they can learn you know, a little bit more about what they've learned for the year.
Wow, that's something. Is there any hybrid approach for the high school level like there is for the K-8?
High school will likely be quite a bit more on campus, although there will be some hybrid in the fact that they'll be able to in the community serving together.
Okay. And when are you looking to start your very first high school class?
So we're actually starting what I'll call a beta class this year with a very small class. And then we look to continue to expand it in the coming years.
Wonderful. Well, we wish you blessings in that endeavor. If someone's listening and they want to find out more, what's the best way for them to do that?
So we would love to partner with parents to disciple the next generation and impact the world for Christ. And so you might be listening and you might think, well, I don't have kids, or maybe your grandparents or whatever it might be. And, you know, you must know somebody who could benefit from this. So tell your friends, talk to your kids about your grandkids. We have a number of grandparents that are involved in the school on a regular basis, and we love having that multi-generational discipleship happening. So if it's something that is interesting to you and you'd like to hear more about it, you can go to the AugustineAcademy.com, or you can check us out on our Facebook or Instagram page, and you can learn more about the school and who we are and some of the families and some of the activities there. And then from our website right at the top, you can click to attend either an open house or to schedule a tour, and then you can learn more about the school in person. We really encourage families to do that.
Okay. Wow. Well, again, lots of good stuff. Fortunately, we don't have more time for you to share more about your great experiences and what you're doing to help others. But I want to thank you both, Nick Breach from Compass Finances God's Way, and Lauren Richman from the Augustine Academy. Thank you both for sharing about your journeys of impact and significance and how you're making a difference in the lives of others. And also thank you for giving us ideas for advanced education in K-12 and in our daily lives in the area of finances. So thank you both for participating today. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, or if you'd like to be considered as a guest on the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com, or you can call our office at 262-691-3200. Join us next Sunday morning at 10 to learn more about the ways people and organizations are contributing to making a difference in our community, like Nick and Lauren are doing from a spiritual and financial perspective. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, or you can go to newstalk1130.com on your computer, or you can listen on your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app. I encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to our previously aired shows, and you can now listen on demand at Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or Apple Podcast. So my call to action for the listeners today is to decide how you would like your journey of significance and impact to play out. Maybe it's by educating others in a particular area of expertise, or maybe it's just taking something that you're totally passionate about and finding a way to make a difference using your servant mindset. Whatever it is you decide to do, I'm sure you will have found a way to be a blessing and give a blessing to others. Thank you for tuning in today. Have a great day.